Welcome into the Fan pregame on a very quiet, non-important Tuesday night in November.
Yeah, nothing going on, right?
Nothing to watch.
Quiet night on Twitter?
Yeah.
On X?
Pretty normal evening.
Nothing that can change
in
the...
North America.
The future? The free world?
Nothing at all. Just a normal night. We got lots to go through today. We'll be teeing up Leafs and Bruins on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in about half an hour. We'll be taking that game. We've got Philly, Carolina on the network at 7, Calgary, Montreal on Sportsnet West at 7, Seattle, Colorado, Vancouver, and Anaheim regionally, 9 and 10 starts on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet Pacific. So lots of hockey to go around tonight.
And while we have the opportunity in the next 25 minutes or so, some interesting news items, ideas, things kicked around in Blue Jays land. I'm excited to talk about some updates here as it pertains to the Toronto
Blue Jays. Maybe a special bank account for Juan Soto.
Yeah, like
something
a big vault.
That easy, it sounds like. A vault of money. We'll get to that in a bit. But let's bring in Chris Weidman, who joins us to tee up some of the games tonight. Chris, appreciate you jumping on. How's it going?
Here, like you said before, kind of a busy day here in the U.S. So trying to make our way through the day, and we'll see if we have some news this evening.
Well, I know you're retired now. Congratulations on making that official. Like, what's retirement been like for you? What are you up to besides living in the States and trying to maybe stay off Twitter today?
A lot of grocery store runs, lots of laundry, lots of dishes. So covered more of that in the past, I don't know, a few months than I have in my entire life. So it's been great to spend time with the family, but I've really enjoyed following along through the first month of the hockey season.
You look like you just got off the golf course, so maybe there's some time for some leisure as well. I'm not sure. It might be just looking the part of a golfer, but I hope you get some leisure time in as well. Okay, let's talk about a couple teams that you played for over the course of your career, and I think Montreal is an interesting one, your last stop there, because you played for Martin Saint-Louis, who clearly had this like hero's welcome when he took over, and there's a long grace period in terms of, you know, how much leniency, how much grace, how much patience there will be in the market. But it seems like it's getting maybe a little bit loud, a little noisy for the first time, because this hasn't been a great start for the Habs, or at least what they expected. Just like, what's Martin Saint-Louis like as a head coach, first and foremost?
For sure the best head coach I've ever played for. He's definitely a guy that, you know, has a great feel for not only the game, but the dressing room and you know, the group in general. So I've seen the noise. I've heard the noise. He's not a guy that I could see it affecting too much. Like he's got a pretty strong belief of you know, what they're building in Montreal. And you know, I have a lot of faith in him and his direction with the group.
How much faith do you have in what's being built? I mean, you know, you talk about NHL rebuilds all the time. We do that constantly, right? Teams take different paths, but sometimes you got to go all the way down before you're able to build up. The teams that do it in the fastest amount of time usually have that can't miss superstar that's kind of handed to them, or at least they win the rights to them through the lottery. It hasn't been these like obvious guys, right? For Montreal, they've accumulated a lot of talent, but maybe not the guy that's obviously going to be someone who can carry the load for 10 to 15 years. The group that they have built, the group that they have, like, is it worth being patient for? Do you believe in what the Montreal Canadiens have from a talent perspective, a young talent perspective?
I do. I think if you look across, you know, they're, I guess, under what, 24 years old player pool, like it's one of the best in the league and it's deep. You've got a handful of guys that are, you know, being impact players every night on the NHL roster. And then you look at their minor league roster, they've got a handful of guys that, in a short order will be, you know, playing in the NHL. So I do believe in what they're building. I believe that, you know, they have the ability to be patient right now, and not make any impulse decisions. And I think that's a luxury. You know, I think that the fan base in Montreal is extremely passionate and you know, getting to play there was a, you know, a thrill of a lifetime. But, you know, I think that the patience needs to continue and You know, to build something that lasts a long time, you've got to build the correct foundation, and they're still trying to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that fan base, because I wonder for you, when you're there and you know like how good that rivalry could be with some of the other Canadian teams, some of the teams just over the border, like having the Canadians be great again, having, you know, someone like a Buffalo Sabres team come back into the fold. Like, these are teams obviously adjacent to Toronto where I am. But I wonder, like, having those teams come back into the fold, the Sens being another one, how good that would be for rivalries, for fans, for players that are playing in it that know that that means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. The Atlantic Division is so good. So to rebuild in that division, like, you're seeing Toronto four times, you're seeing Boston four times, you're seeing Florida four times. Tampa, who's had an incredible run. Like, now you're watching Detroit all of a sudden get good. Buffalo's getting good. Ottawa's building a good team. Like, it's a tough division to rebuild in. So the teams that are, you know, on their, I guess, way out of the rebuild mode, like a Detroit, like, they had hard times. This is not a overnight type deal. And if you want to have a run of, you know, 7 to 10 years of a really competitive team, it takes time. And I think that the management, the coaching staff in Montreal has done a great job of showing patience. I think that, you know, this year you'll see a little bit more accountability amongst the players, right? Like for Marty to go in and, you know, sit guys, scratch guys, like, I don't think that really helps further the culture that they're trying to build. That needs to be within the room, the players holding each other accountable. And, you know, these are guys that I still speak to on a daily basis. So I know that that's their focus, and they've got a lot of runway left this season to figure it out. And I know that they will.
Where does Cole Caulfield rank amongst the most naturally gifted players you've played for in your career?
I heard a lot about him when I got to Montreal. You get out on the ice with him, and he truly is special. Like, he's tiny, and he's fearless. He goes and gets the puck out of the corner. He gets to the front of the net. He scores all types of goals. I think you're finally seeing this year. He's starting to score some real goal scorer goals. Like, you think of the one he scored the other night in Philly where he catches the puck out of the air, puts it down, kind of hesitates for a second and sneaks it through. Like, those are going in for him this year. I think that, you know, he's a guy that I'm very close with. So we speak a lot. You know, I think his production's been awesome and something to celebrate, but, you know, he's even said to me personally, he's excited to round out his game and take another step this year.
Flames and Montreal Canadiens tonight, Sportsnet West at 7 p.m. So we're going to be tuned in to that one.
All right, let's ask you about another Ontario team, the Ottawa Senators. It's been great to see them have a bit of a hotter start than usual. They're right up there in the mix at the top of the Atlantic, and you mentioned how hard that division is. But Brady Tkachuk, I think, is a great story, obviously coming into his own as a leader, as like the heartbeat and the heart and soul of that team. His steps, as quiet as they might be sometimes from the outside looking in, that you've seen him make to be the leader he is, what's been the most impressive part of Brady Tkachuk's game?
I mean, I think just the, you know, he's really turned into a elite player in the league. I think when he came into the league, he was a high pick. He was a guy that we knew was going to be a good player, but he's an every nighter, right? Like, he's dragging guys into the fight on his team, getting guys to compete, and he's become a great leader in the league. So, you know, I'm proud of him. He's a St. Louis guy, as am I. And, you know, I like to see those guys do well.
Who else got your attention across the NHL? Touched on a couple teams that you obviously played for in the last few years of your career. But when you look around, when you're turning the TV on, when you're done the dishes, what team do you want to normally turn on and check out what they're doing?
Team-wise, I you know, what Winnipeg's done has been super impressive. I really like Dallas. I don't think that they've maybe had the best start. But I think that that's a team that's going to be very competitive down the stretch and a team that I see competing at the end of the season here. I think Nashville's got a great roster. I think that they've had a tough start, but that's a team that you could see maybe dig themselves out of a hole that most other teams couldn't. You know, player-wise, what Mark Stone's done this year. If you look at, you know, the top scorers in the league, you've got Kaprizov, Makar, Kucherov, Natchez, Panarin, like elite skaters. And then you look at a guy like Stone who maybe doesn't get around the ice as well as those guys, you know, to be in the top 10 in scoring and just really shows his hockey IQ. He's one of the smartest players I've ever played with, and really happy to see him doing well this year.
We're chatting with Chris Weidman, former NHL defender, and you got a couple opportunities to represent the United States at the IIHF World Championships. Obviously, there's some great international play coming up. We've got the Four Nations face-off, and then we've got the Olympics and having NHLers back in the fold. What do you think that's going to mean for some players that never got the opportunity to represent, whether it's a Canadian or an American or an international team, to play at this Four Nations face-off first to kind of gear up for NHLers back at the Olympics in just a year and a bit?
I think you've got a whole generation of elite players in the NHL that haven't represented their country at a best-on-best tournament. You've got guys you know, that played for the U23 team in 2016 that are going to now have a chance to represent their country on a best-on-best situation. It's great for the game. It's great for the players. And, you know, I think it'll be a great event.
I think I know who you're cheering for, but the Americans seem to be the team that's just stacked from top
to
bottom.
Yeah, be honest. You guys are licking your chops ahead of this, aren't you? Like, the Americans, I feel like the chests are going to be fully out here. So going into this Four Nations face-off and perhaps in the Olympics, if it goes the way at least betting sites have it right now.
Yeah, I think you look at really all the rosters, but the U.S. in particular, like, there's some really tough decisions that need to be made towards the bottom of the lineup, both at forward and D. It's I think Billy Guerin had a great quote. It's like, you know, you're nitpicking at guys that you die to have on your NHL roster, right? Mm-hmm. So it really is a difficult position to be in, but I don't really know that you can make a wrong decision there.
How big of a deal is, like, you're still talking to former teammates? You said you still talk to Cole Caulfield. I'm not sure if you guys have talked about that, but, like, how big of a deal is it to make this Four Nations face-off with the guys that you are speaking with?
I think guys are really excited. I think it's again, like, really a great chance for them to, you know, I guess put a feather in their cap. Like, it's a big deal for guys, and you know, most people will downplay it, and, you know, Cole and I haven't specifically talked about it. And, you know, speaking to Nick Suzuki as well, who I think has a chance to make the Canadian team, you know, I can tell that it means a lot to them without them even having to say it. And, you know, I'm really hopeful that both guys will have a chance to represent their country.
And it probably, like, it at least means a leg up for the Olympic stage. And, you know, we don't know how much the Four Nations face-off actually means, like, when we see it, how what it means to fans, what it means to teams, what it means to players. But we know what the Olympics means. And if you get on that Four Nations face-off roster, a good opportunity, if you play well there, that you'll be representing your country on the Olympic stage, which, of course, is one of the most important things that we understand it is, at least, to NHLers. Chris, this was a pleasure having you on. Let's do this again soon. And, don't work too hard at home.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks so much. That's Chris Weidman, former NHL defenseman. I was looking back at his time in the league and then his opportunity to be at the World Championships. He was at the one that I was in Latvia, which was closed.
So the second time you've interviewed him,
it was a closed bubble, and it was like during the pandemic 2021. Mm-hmm. And the United States won bronze in that tournament, and Canada won in an overtime thriller against Finland. And so I was there, I was doing reporting. I was working for the IIHF, so I remember.
Was
him.
That the Troy Stetcher?
Yes,
setup.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and like I was there as a IIHF employee, but there was no outside fan, so I was like a Canadian fan. I didn't care. I mean, I was having fun, and I was interviewing the players and doing like a daily show there. But yeah, that was an unbelievable OT winner. It was sweet. So, but yeah, he was on that Connor Brown for the Canadians. I'm trying to remember, Connor Garland kind of had his like coming out party at that.
Forget who scored the goal. Stetcher set someone up for the goal. But I forget who it was.
I thought it was Connor Brown. I'll have to go back and look.
Speaking of patriotism, which is not a commentary on what's to happen tonight, but like these Americans, there's like a quiet confidence that scares the living daylights out of me.
Well, because
like,
they're not feeling good.
There's no bravado. There's no like, hey, we're coming. There's just like, they're all just super confident heading into this tournament, and of course the Olympics in 2 years after that. It's a little scary.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and we'll have some time to go through and, you know, do the make our own teams and our own rosters. But I think they're changing almost every day. Like, this is the time of time. I think they've got two or three weeks left before the rosters have to be submitted. And I mean, you're kind of playing each game. Obviously, you're caring about your NHL team, but you're thinking a little bit about your opportunity to represent the national team. So it was a pretty big month for some people. We're going to talk more hockey on the other side of the break. We're going to have our Leafs pregame show for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Leafs and Bruins. There'll be no Austin Matthews in the lineup tonight, which might like explain some of his lack of 5-on-5 goal scoring. It's an upper body injury, apparently not related to his previous wrist injury, but we'll go through that and more. We're going to have Josh Cloak join us of The Athletic, and we'll do our dedicated Leafs Bruins pregame segment there. But let's talk about the other team in the Toronto area making headlines today, and that is the Toronto Blue Jays. So Arshai Davidi wrote a great article up on Sportsnet.ca. He's actually written probably like 15 articles in the last 3 days.
Like, he's given poppies to John Morosi, yes, and he's writing like hourly for Sportsnet.ca.
It's crazy. You can't keep up. But one of the ones, I think it was yesterday, I was talking about Juan Soto's deal and how that might affect Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So this is a quote from our article. Check it out on Sportsnet.ca. A Soto deal would likely be covered under a special payroll allocation, as Ohtani would have been a year ago, rather than from whatever the 2025 budget is set at for the Blue Jays. So that means if Soto signs elsewhere, they can't redirect what would have been spent on him elsewhere, indicative that they're presenting him as a unique opportunity. Now, this is starting to feel like last offseason a little bit.
Sure.
With the Shohei money, and the Shohei money meant, you know, international eyeballs. Like, you're bringing him to Canada where, you know, you could have a whole different country behind him and, you know, outsource that to Japan, to wherever.
Sure, yeah, it's a unique opportunity, but it's not the same opportunity. It's not
like
automatically Shohei Ohtani pays for himself, given the international interests and everything that follows Shohei Ohtani.
He can pitch and he can hit.
Juan Soto is just like the best baseball player, the best baseball hitter, maybe, and one of the best players in Major League Baseball. So it's unique, but it's also like under payroll in every sense of like, yeah, it's a baseball player, paid for by the baseball team. This is their payroll. He should theoretically roll up under that. And yet they would be looking, they being the Toronto Blue Jays and ownership, treating him potentially as a unique opportunity, a separate opportunity from everything else that they're doing. How do you feel about that?
I feel like that money definitely needs to be some of it, or some of the same amount of money. I don't know how you deal with these two separate bank accounts. Vladdy needs to get the money. Like, Vladdy needs to get his money.
It is a major slight against Vladdy.
Right. If you, but we talked about this with John Morosi yesterday. Like, getting Vladdy signed, he said, might not be able to happen until Juan Soto is signed and Juan Soto's contract is signed. And maybe Juan Soto signs with, you know, the Mets. And then you know, okay, what's the structure around his contract that helps with signing Vladdy? So,
or at least helps Vladdy set his own price.
Right. So you kind of need that like market comparison. But what if the market comparison is on the same team? That's where I'm confused about. Like, if they are having conversations with Juan Soto right now and they've got a secret $700 million stash and you get Juan Soto under there, then I guess it doesn't matter because you can get Vlad from your other bank account.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a frustrating thing that's not so unrelatable to what everyone sort of experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're at a workplace or you're in some sort of line of work or something that's considered a hobby, whatever you might want to call it, where you have your circumstance and then there's like other circumstances beyond that where, yeah, we could bring in this, we could do this for them.
It's when like two sets of
you're
rules.
The loyal employee. Vladdy's been the loyal employee for 10 years, put himself in a position where it'd be like, yeah, I deserve the raise. I am in the Juan Soto mold. I am a poor man, Juan Soto, maybe, but at least I'm a superstar player just like Juan Soto, and yet these rules don't apply to me. It applies to someone who's given this franchise nothing up until this point. And again, if he offered a signature, that'd be a game-changing thing for the Toronto Blue Jays. But I think, you know, as much as I think it's amazing that there's a special fund where you can chase unique opportunities. Like, what fan wouldn't want their team to have something that where they can do something unbelievably splashy like chase Shohei Ohtani or chase Juan Soto because you actually have the money to do
Didn't
it?
Didn't you bring up that idea once with having one player?
This is my dream for the NHL.
Having one player in the
special
NHL
allocation
that
fund.
Just gets whatever they want. There's no, they're not under the cap. Like, McDavid gets the McDavid fund and Matthews gets a Matthews fund. And
it's
then
like the franchise tag, you where you can pay your player as much as he actually gives to your franchise in return. Mm-hmm. Like Austin Matthews could earn $50 million from the Toronto Maple Leafs, mm-hmm. and it would be separate from what the team is making. However, even that would be like, there would be competition for it, right? How's Mitch Marner feeling about the fact that he can't get any of that special allocation money?
They need four allocation monies.
Exactly. It'd be a problem with the Maple Leafs.
Four but I secret think, bank
I
accounts.
I can't imagine it wouldn't be a problem with the Blue Jays, right? Like, okay, we can punch open the safe for you, but for us, we're not good enough. We haven't showed you that we're worth any of that extra money. It is an interesting little divide that, yeah, is great on the surface, but if you never get to use it and the players don't have access to it, what good does it actually do?
One more piece of news on the Blue Jays today, obviously having some meetings down in San Antonio, right, where John was.
Yep.
John Morosi tweeting, Ross Atkins told me his answer is an easy no to any trade inquiries on Bobichet. I don't know how much I love that, an easy no. Like, he said trade inquiries, so that could be somebody trading you Shohei Ohtani, like, you know, obviously not. But trade inquiry just means let's start a dialogue. And if you're not even going to start a dialogue, it's just an easy no. I think you're just kicking the can down the road for a problem that's going to show up a little bit later this year. Like, I guess if we're keeping Bobichet, then we're keeping Bobichet and he's going to free agency. But why would you not at least pick up the phone on some trade inquiries? You're not signing anything. You're just listening.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think anyone should be closed-minded, especially when there's actually not a firm future in place for
someone
like Bobichet or Vladdy, for that matter. But again, back to that fund. If it's $700 million, whatever, in this special bank account, that could get deals done with both Vlad and Bo. Mm. Like, if you actually wanted to do that, use that special account on those two and then look at your baseball parameters, payroll parameters, the other with the rest of it, you could build a hell of a baseball team.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it would bother these guys who, again, are 12 months away from unrestricted free agency. If you get nothing done with them, they're going to look at, hey, you didn't want to pay us. You wanted to pay other people. Why would we be loyal to you? I think this puts them in a bit of a precarious position, despite it being this really tantalizing aspect of how the Blue Jays are being run or potentially run right now. I just don't know if it's going to work in their favor.
One last thing, and then we'll do best bets. We'll take a quick break. I just got press release here from the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani undergoes successful arthroscopic surgery to repair labrum tear in left shoulder. So he had a surgery on his non-throwing shoulder dislocation on October 26th. It was performed and should be okay. So there's a little bit of an update on Shohei's shoulder.
Injuries piling
surgery.
Up for Ohtani just a little bit. 30 years old. Juan Soto, just 25. Or did he just turn 26? Young man, though.
Young man.
Like, if you want to do the $700 million thing mm-hmm. with a player, how about one that's, like, barely removed from his teenage years? And is the best hitter in baseball.
I think that I would set up a separate account for that as well. Okay, quickly, best bets before we take a break and come back and do our Leafs pregame show on Sportsnet 590 Fan. My best bet is Macklin Celebrini to get a goal tonight. He is returning to the lineup after not even getting to play one full game. This guy is obviously...
Short price on Celebrini.
Yeah, you know, because he's supposed to be the goal scorer he is. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see him get back in the lineup. It would be nice to see him get a goal. So that's my, you know... gut heart pick for tonight.
There
nice story.
I like it. Macklin Celebrini. Got to get back in the running for that Calder Trophy.
That's right.
Somehow.
He needs to get going.
Sidney Crosby, historically dominant against the New York Islanders. Why would that ever change? Off the back of a NHL award, three-star award for the week. Sidney Crosby.
First time that him and Ovi were ever in it together.
Was it month or week? Week.
Week.
Yeah, fresh
That's
off
crazy.
That. Sidney Crosby keeps it rolling. Over 1.5 points against the team he tortures. Plus 185.
All right. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll come back. We'll do our pregame show for Leafs Bruins. That's a 7 p.m. start. We'll have it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're going to talk to Josh Cloak of The Athletic. If you're looking for Philly and Carolina, that's up on Sportsnet at 7. At Calgary, Montreal, a little later on Sportsnet West. That's a 7 p.m. start as well. Seattle and Colorado on Sportsnet 1 at 9. And then Vancouver and Anaheim, Sportsnet Pacific at 10 p.m. Lots of hockey to watch tonight. We'll be back with Josh Cloak, talk Leafs, Bruins at Scotiabank Arena.